Hey, what's cracking? Welcome to the program. It is the Jim Rome Show, starring me, Jim Rome. What's up? Hope you had a great weekend. Nice to have you here. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Then Rocket can. What a wild, wild weekend that was. Lots to cover on a Monday. Let's get it. Phone lines are open right now. It's cell phone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. I don't even need to push you. I don't need to solicit this. This is not a hard day. There is such a wild, wild weekend that we're coming off of. This should be a very easy day for you. Get on the phone. Hit me up. Get yourself in the rotation. Open phones right now. Again, that phone number is 1-800-636-8686. If you're not comfortable on the phones, if you don't want to risk calling the program up and having it go very badly in front of millions and millions of people, just go ahead and hit me up on social media at Jim Rome. Follow me on Twitter, also on Instagram. And yes, we still read emails. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so coming down the end of the regular season in the NFL, Jordan Poyer is my first guest. Buffalo Bills safety coming up at 40 past. Top of hour number two. So it sets up like that, right? Back-to-back interviews. Which is why you want to get through right now. Top of hour number two, a senior writer for NFL.com, Jeffrey Chidiha. I am efforting a third guest. Normally when I'm efforting a third guest, I would say to you, you know, clones, it might be your day. I might interview one of you. I feel like that's not going to happen. If we get into hour number two and I still don't have a third guest, maybe that might happen. But I've got a feeling we will turn somebody before now and then. Monday is also an ATP day. So if there's something you want to ask me, get yourself together, ask the question. I will have that for you a little bit later on. You have your phone number. Use it. All right. So where to start? Well, that's pretty easy, right? After last night, after Hell Week. Top to bottom, there is only one place to start and one way to start the program on a Monday. Alvin, hit it. The autumn wind is a bleeping raider. And last night, it bleeped the Chargers up completely. Why don't we get right into it? And let's not recap that game. Let's not recap Sunday. Let's not hype the Raiders even for turning their season around after the John Gruden debacle. Let's get right into it. Did Brandon Staley cost his team a spot in the playoffs? Did that timeout with 38 seconds left cost the Chargers that playoff spot that they have spent the last 3 years trying to run down? Did the first-year head coach, who has already become one of the more polarizing head coaches in all of football for his aggressiveness, just shoot himself in the foot and screw over his own team? Did arguably the most aggressive coach in football get so aggressive that he's now just reckless? All right, now, before I answer that, let me remind you of the stakes. A Chargers win meant that they were going to the playoffs, and the Raiders were not. A Raiders win meant that they were going to the playoffs and the Chargers were not. And, of course, a tie meant they were both going. So, when Justin Herbert led one of the most clutch drives you're ever going to see and tied that game on the final play, it meant we had the football equivalent of the prisoner's dilemma. The safest result for both teams was a tie. Win and you're in. Tie and you're in, but blow it and lose it and you're out. So both teams played that way in overtime. They both get field goals on their first drives. Then with 38 seconds left, the Raiders are looking at 3rd and 4. The Chargers, they have the ball on the Charger, 39. The clock is spinning until it wasn't spinning.
Who could have ever dreamed of the scenario? 3rd and 4, now what? Chargers take a timeout.
Los Angeles takes its first timeout. This will be a 30-second timeout.
What?
Yeah,
I think the Raiders were playing to get it down to either a field goal or just let the clock run out, and the Chargers took the timeout.
I'm trying to process this myself.
Wow.
I know.
That's really interesting.
Let's not get into that just now. Interesting reaction right from Alan Chris. So the clock stops. The clock stops and Twitter immediately explodes. Brandon Staley just cost the Chargers the game. He broke an unwritten deal with the Raiders by calling that timeout, and now the Raiders are going to jam him. Twitter was losing its collective mind. The guy had just cost them the game and the playoffs, and if they needed any further proof, and if Charger fans needed any further salt in their wound, check out what Derek Carr had to say right after the game.
Guys are still tied. You're driving. This thing could have ended in a tie. Chargers call a timeout. How did that shift the strategy?
Yeah, it definitely did, obviously.
Uh-oh. At that point, show me your lightning bolt. I want to hear from a Charger fan. Chula Vista, El Cajon, El Segundo, Torrance, Reaction, Otay Mesa, Pacific Beach, Ocean Beach, Tijuana Beach, all the beaches. Did your head coach just cost you a spot in the playoffs? Should he be fired on the spot? How did he make it off the field even? I mean, because sure enough, right after that timeout, this happened.
Third and four.
What is it?
Jones goes in motion. Jacobs. And he's going to take it to the 29. And now they're going to be set up for a field goal attempt by Carlson. No sense taking a timeout if you're the Chargers here because doesn't matter.
Yeah, because that's what you want to see. Daniel Carlson walking onto the field with a chance to win the game. So, this from Daniel Carlson with the Chargers and the Steelers and all these playoff spots hanging in the balance. This dude lines it up.
Here comes the snap. Ball down. Kick is on the way. It is good. And the Raiders win. The Raiders have won the game. Las Vegas 35. The Los Angeles Chargers 32. The Raiders are going to the playoffs. For the first time since 2016, the Raiders are in the postseason. Take a deep breath, Pittsburgh. You're in the postseason.
So what the man is trying to say is, Raiders rule. Chargers suck. Good night now. What an absolutely brutal way for LA season to end. I mean, that's a franchise that's got a freaky history of being able to find ways to lose in heartbreaking, gutting fashion. Being a Charger fan means that you're used to your team inventing new ways to lose close games. That's just how it is. It could be a freaky play. It could be a dumb penalty. And man, were there plenty of those last night. It could be a coaching mistake, and it happened again. Except it didn't. Brandon Staley did not cost his team that win with that timeout. He didn't. That's a fact. That's not where they lost that game. But I'll tell you where they did. I'll tell you exactly where they lost that game. It was right in front of everybody, and for some reason, most of y'all are ignoring it. Here is where they lost that game.
Third and four.
What is it?
Jones goes in motion. Jacobs. And he's going to take it to the 29. And now they're going to be set up for a field goal attempt by Carlson. No sense taking a timeout if you're the Chargers here because doesn't matter.
That's where they lost the game. When Josh Jacobs ripped through them for a 10-yard run on third down. Third down with the season on the line and you get gashed for 10 yards. That's where they lost it. A play where everybody knew it was going to be a run. Everybody knew who was going to run it. And the guy still gets 10 yards. That's where they lost the game. That cannot happen. Even worse, on second and 11, he had a 7-yard run. Two straight plays where everybody on the planet knew the Raiders were going to run the ball, and they still get 17 yards. With the season on the line, the run defense failed. Like, it's that simple. That's not analytics. That's not game theory. That's not crazy strategy. It's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite of metrics and analytics. It's old school. It's 11 on 11. You know what's coming, and you still can't stop it. Two straight plays of Raiders rule. Chargers suck. Good night now.
Good night now. timeout.
So it was not the timeout that cost them the game. It was the run defense that cost them the game, among many other things, but especially the run defense. It's not that he called timeout. It's that the defense could not make a play when it absolutely had to. Not only did everybody know it was going to be a run on third down, that's the reason Staley called timeout in the first place.
Yeah, we needed to get into the right grouping. We felt like they were going to run the ball, so we wanted to get our best 11 personnel run defense in, make that substitution so that we could, you know, get a play where we would deepen the field goal.
Yeah, well, that didn't happen, did it? Not only did they not deepen the field goal, they shortened it by 10 yards. That ended up being a 47-yard field goal. If that's still a 57-yard field goal, obviously that's a much tougher kick. So tough that maybe the Raiders do think twice about kicking it. Because at that point, from 57 yards out, a block and a return means that they're out of the playoffs. The Raiders might have actually taken a knee if it was still a 57-yard kick. And if LA had gotten a tackle for a loss on that play, the chances of that knee got even higher. Also, let's be clear about this. I know it's a lot more fun, and it's a lot more convenient, and there's a lot more lava involved in pointing at that one guy in that timeout, but the Raiders were always going to kick that field goal. As much as it would have been cool to see them knee it out, and even I tweeted it in jest, but as long as they were going to be in reasonable field goal range, they were going to kick it. This is why they were in a shotgun on 3rd and 4 before the Chargers called timeout. You don't go into the shotgun to take a knee. Nobody does that because they weren't looking to take a knee in that spot. Again, yes, and here's another reason why they weren't, but yes, taking a knee would guarantee them a playoff spot. But making the playoffs with a tie and making it with a win were two extremely different things for the Raiders. If you tie, you face Kansas City, the team that beat the hell out of them twice this year by a combined score of 89-23. They didn't want any of that. However, if you win, you get the Bengals. And yes, I know the Bengals put it on the Raiders back in November, but that was a one-score game until the Raiders imploded with two turnovers in the final 5 minutes of that game. What I'm saying is this. If you're the Raiders and you've got a chance to play Cincinnati, you're going to take that chance. You would much rather deal with and take a chance against Cincinnati than you would KC. So they were going to do that before the timeout, and they were going to do that after the timeout. They didn't want to play KC. The timeout didn't change that. And before you freak out and kill Staley because of Carr's answer after the game, Carr did say, yes, that changed things. But then check out the entirety of Derek Carr's answer.
Chargers call a timeout. How did that shift the strategy?
Yeah, it definitely did, obviously. But we knew no matter what, we didn't want to tie. We wanted to win the football game. Obviously, if you tie, you're in, and all, I think all those things. But my mindset all day, I even was texting with Aaron Rodgers this morning. Yeah, my mindset was to make sure that we were the only team moving on after this.
Two reasons, right? Much better to go in the postseason with a win, a big win, instead of a tie. And even more importantly, much more important to go into the postseason and not have to deal with Kansas City. Nothing against Cincinnati. All right, I'm sure they'll hear that and they'll use that. But still, as much as I respect Cincinnati and I respect the hell out of them, I'd much rather deal with them than Kansas City if I'm the Raiders. So, if you want to kill Staley for being crazy aggressive on fourth down earlier in the game or for having some strange personnel on the field after that timeout, you go right ahead. I'm not going to talk you off that point. In fact, even though I know Staley is about that life, I don't know what the hell he was thinking going for it on fourth down from his 18. And he probably should rethink going for it on virtually every fourth down. For instance, is it about putting your team in position to win, or is it about being right? It's a young coach. He's figuring it out. I still believe in the guy. But the timeout at the end of the game did not cost them the game. Their run defense did. When they absolutely had to make a play with a playoff berth hanging in the balance, they just couldn't do it, and the Raiders punched them in the face. Twice. And Charger fans are going to have to live with that for the next 8 months, while Raider fans are partying their asses off and heading back to the playoffs with a chance to shock the world and go on a run. Oh, one more thing. Instead of focusing exclusively on that timeout, maybe we talk for a minute for an hour about how they didn't do a damn thing to get Storm Norton a little help in blocking on that monster that's Max Crosby. Maybe a little help? Maybe even a chip or two on this dude? Like, what I'm saying is the Chargers lost that game for a lot of reasons. But that timeout isn't it. And by the way, while we're at it, why don't we just tip our hat to the Raiders? Because they bleeping earned it. How about that one Steeler fan in the crowd? Man, you know he's joining in on that party. You know that one Steeler fan they kept showing? That guy was mother bleeping both teams to the very end. You know, we all have our bad beat stories in Vegas. That guy would have had a classic one. And then even on the broadcast, you could see Justin Herbert on the sideline say, quote, "I've never wanted a tie so bad in my life." To not have this guy in the playoffs is criminal. Isn't it amazing what that guy had to overcome? All the things that Justin Herbert had to overcome yesterday alone to have his team in position, man. This guy played his guts out. Played his guts out. I thought that I'd seen it all. I thought that there couldn't be any more unique and painful way for Charger fan to get their heart ripped out of their chest. So where do you slot that one, Charger fan? Where do you rank that one? Gotta be right near the top of the list. If not the entire list. Wild Night, 1-800-636-8686. Raiders advance. Chargers go home. Steeler fan, probably urinating himself. But they survive in advance. So we'll get into that. And, I mean, we could do an entire program on that game alone, but we won't. Thoughts on the Rams and Niners. Thoughts on Black Monday, a real thing. Coaches getting broken off. Some that you had to know was coming, and one that you did not know was coming. If I can get to it. Oh, and how about Indianapolis? What a choke job that was. I mean, didn't we all talk about it coming in? We talked about the fact that, hey, boy, wouldn't that be something? But nobody thought that could happen. Nobody anywhere thought the Colts with a chance to win and you're in, and all they have to do is beat the clown show that is Jacksonville to get in, and they still lost. I mean, that is an omnipotent and catastrophic tank job. Clay Thompson was back. How about Clay Thompson throwing one down with authority and showing up last night? So all of this, and I'm looking for telephone calls right this second, 1-800-636-8686. Buffalo Bills had to work for it, but they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. Jordan Poyer joins me at 9:40 Pacific time. I'll back that up with Jeffrey Chidiha, top of hour two. Don't have a third guest yet. So get up in here. Good to have you on a Monday.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I still can't believe what went down in Jacksonville. I expected a clown show. I got a clown show. What I did not expect was the Colts to be the clown show. Not only did they not win, they got hammered. And don't let that final score confuse you at all. They got hammered by a team that's going to have the first pick overall. How the hell does that work? They needed to win to get in against a team that is going to have the first pick overall again. A team that's own fans showed up to the stadium in clown gear to celebrate the clown show, the clown product that they put on the field every single Sunday. And they got hammered. I mean, that is an all-time tank job. An all-time tank job. So who are you going to put that on? Obviously, Carson Wentz is going to have to wear that for sure. I'm not saying it's all his fault, but I'm going to say that a lot of folks are going to make it out to be all his fault. But who are you going to put that on? Whatever you do, according to the queen, Danica, don't put it on her. Ms. Nika, at Nika989 tweets, I swear. I had nothing to do with a ruined Carson Wentz.
Duval!
He was ruined too. SA Sports Honk tweets, Rome, glad to see the Raiders stab the Chargers in the back on the field and kick them out of the playoffs rather than Raider fan stabbing Charger fan in the back in the parking lot. I want you to know that in years past, or even currently, violence is not exclusive to Raider fan. I'm not saying it's widespread, but I'm saying bad things happen in pretty much all stadium parking lots. JWags15 tweets, what was Brandon Staley thinking? Calling a timeout there. Signed, Chris Webber. Again, I can't talk you off that point. Listen, if they were in kneel down formation and then he called timeout, that would be one thing. But again, they were in the shotgun, third and four. They were not looking to kneel out. They were going to run a play. Of course it all changed when they ripped off 10 yards on them. A 47-yard field goal is a really different thing than a 57-yard field goal. If it's 57 yards, then the Raiders have a really interesting decision to make. Because then if it's blocked and it's run back, you get a real problem. Again, if the Raiders made it very clear that they had stopped playing and had given up and were going to accept the tie and kneel, and then he called timeout, I could see the argument. But they were in a shotgun formation. And again, it's not just the optics of it. It's not just you want to win going into the postseason. Of course, I mean, they made a real big point of saying it on the broadcast that the Raiders were saying, we just want to get in. We just want to get in. Yeah, I get that. I get that. However, again, there's a really big difference between getting in and advancing. Getting in and having to deal with a Chiefs team that beat the hell out of you twice this year. Versus a Bengals team that when they're good, they're really good, but they're up and down. Carlin Prescott tweets, what a clown show. Coaching clinic from Brandon Staley last night. Signed, Joe Judge.
This ain't some clown show organization.
Yes, it is. Let me tell you something. There is nobody who was luckier. There is nobody who is more relieved than Joe Judge right about now for so many different reasons. Otherwise, all the attention would be on this guy, but it's not because Miami blew out Brian Flores, which is unbelievable. We'll get to that in a minute. And there are other guys that went down. And you've got the whole Brandon Staley thing. Joe Judge has got to be sitting back thanking his lucky stars this morning that it's not all about him. Oh, and the fact that he still has a job. Go figure. Brian and San Pedro, quote, okay, send in the clowns. Sincerely, George McCaskey this morning asking his secretary to let Nagy and Pace in his office. Pretty good. No surprise there. Jamie in Green Bay is in, quote, buy me some penis in Cracker Jack because I lost my job and I can't afford it. All right, so on the way out the door.
Buy me some penis in Cracker Jack.
Say what you want about penis and Cracker Jack, and I will. But in his defense, on the way out the door, let's be fair. We've broken this tape down so many times. He did say peanuts. Am I right, Alvin?
Buy me some penis and Cracker Jack.
Or maybe he didn't. I don't know who I'm more disappointed in losing. Nagy or Zim? I like both these guys for different reasons. Because Zim is just cold-blooded and will say things. And because Nagy was in over his head and he also will say things.
That's Dear 100% Jim, scheme, Brad.
Hi. I am shocked to be reminded that Matt Nagy was once NFL Coach of the Year. Signed, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s Oscar. Vince in Illinois.
Hi.
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 And one more before I go to break. Hey, Tan Man, I wish I could get the football from yesterday afternoon and night put into a vial and injected into my veins. I've watched a lot of football. Yesterday had to be one of the craziest, heart-wrenching, exciting Sundays ever. The Niners, Rams, Raiders, Chargers games were instant classics. I can't wait for the playoffs. Turtleneck Tan Man. Mario and SF wore Jimmy G being money in the clutch. Who would have ever thought that? Who would have ever thought the guy that you were so desperate to get rid of? Banged up, taped up, bad digit. Had a couple of really bad plays and bad throws. Who would have ever expected that guy to just sack the hell up and do what he did? Got to tip your hat to him, too. And especially the way that game started. The way that game started with the Niners falling behind 17-0. All I could think is, man, how in the world can they be that flat in a game that matters that much? And to jump out to a 17-0 deficit. And then they sack up and show incredible heart and grit. And Matt Stafford, too, is tearing it up before he regressed into Gofford again. I've got lots of thoughts on that game. And credit to Jimmy G. 1-800-636-8686. All right, you had your chance. If you're on hold, stay there. We've got back-to-back interviews scheduled. Jordan Poyer, Bill Safety. Hey, listen, a lot of people wrote them off when they were 7-6. And the Patriots did them. And now they're right back in it. And with a chip on their shoulder.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Seriously, what a wild, wild weekend that was in the NFL. It's only going to get better going forward. If you're on hold, you want to hang in there. But as promised, we're joined right now by a safety for the Buffalo Bills. Coming off a big game, 4 tackles and 2 sacks in that win over the Jets. On the season, 93 tackles, 5 INTs, 3 sacks. Only player in the league with 5 interceptions and 3 sacks. He was an All-American and a first-team All-Pac-12er at Oregon State. 218th pick overall back in 2013. Buffalo 11-6 on the season, and they're at home against New England Saturday, 8:15 p.m. Eastern on CBS. It's going to be a big week. Jordan Poyer is my guest. Jordan, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. I appreciate you for having me on, as always.
I really appreciate you doing it, as always. So let me ask you, I know you and the team have got some enormous goals for the season, but how does it feel to wake up this morning as AFC Eastern champs for a second straight year?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty special. You know, obviously, with everything, you know, that Buffalo's gone through the last 20, 30 years, to be able to bring it back-to-back, back-to-back AFC East champions, especially to do it at home. It's awesome. But, you know, obviously job's not finished. I think you just said it. You know, New England coming back to the house, playoff game on Saturday night. I mean, what else do you want, you know? Just going to be an amazing atmosphere, and, you know, what a great opportunity for us.
Nothing better. Nothing better. In fact, Jordan, you hit on a few things I was going to ask you about, but let me just kind of circle back really quickly. The team had not won a division title at home since 1995. I mean, that's a crazy long time. That means there are season ticket holders who have been with the team for a quarter century who have never seen that happen. So what did it feel like, and what did it mean to be able to win that division at home in front of your fans, because it had been so long?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was 4 years old at the time, the last time they did it, so it was pretty surreal, you know, honestly, and I couldn't really put it into words at the time, you know, just the feeling, the atmosphere when the clock hit zero. You could see the fans hugging, people crying. You know, I did a lap around the stadium at the end just to show appreciation, man. I mean, not only these fans been through a lot, so it was cool to bring it back home and to do it at home. Like I said, it's hard to put into words, you know, the feeling, what it felt like, but you know, the job's not finished yet. Like I said, you know, it's a quick turnaround. You know, got to enjoy it for a good 12 hours or so, but, you know, got to get ready for a big one this weekend.
Jordan Poyer joining us. Huge one this weekend. Now, you said after the game, quote, we bounced back from losses and tough losses where everybody counted us out. Everybody said that our defense couldn't do this, couldn't do that. The offense couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And to quote, I'm kind of curious, like, what were those points like in the season for you and for the rest of the team? Was there ever any worry that the season might slip away?
No, I mean, we've been here for 5 years. A lot of guys, you know, like the core guys that have been here for 4 or 5 years, kind of built this thing. And Sean and Bean and the Pagulas have done a great job of bringing the right guys in, you know, the guys that be able to handle adversity. Because, you know, throughout a season, I think we've talked about this before, throughout a season, throughout games, you know, there's going to be adversity. There's going to be ups and downs. And you know, the ones that are the teams that are able to handle that adversity, to handle those ups and downs in the right fashion, you know, those are usually ones that are standing at the end. And so every team goes through it, and we got the right guys in the building to be able to handle and block out the outside noise. And, you know, obviously you hear it. You know, you hear it. You know, guys obviously on social media all the time, you hear it, you know, defense can't stop the run, defense can't do this, can't do that. But, you know, we easily blocked the noise out and understood what we had to do, what we had to accomplish in order to, you know, to continue to strive for our goals. And you know, that's just what it's been all 5 years that we've been in Buffalo, and particularly this year.
Jordan Poyer joining us. In other words, it's a group that's built for it. It's a group that's got a lot of character and a lot of grit in that locker room. You know, Jordan, when you make the point that we block it all out, I accept that. I believe that. How much of that, though, do you block out? And then maybe how much of that do you convert into fuel and use that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of cliche. But at the same time, that's exactly what it is. I mean, me, you know, being who I am, I feel like I've been overlooked my whole entire life, and so I obviously use that fuel, that fire, in my preparation throughout the week, in my motivation throughout the week to, you know, in those long days and the days where, you know, maybe I don't feel like getting up, or maybe I don't feel like doing this or doing that, you know, those little niches, those little, you know, those can motivate you. And, you know, especially, you know, as a defense, as a team, when we hear, you know, this team can't do this, this team can't do that. You know, that motivates you, whether, you know, people want to say it's corny or whatever. You know, that does drive you, that does fuel you, and that does want to, you know, prove people wrong. And I think that's just what we've been doing. We've been building that culture here in Buffalo. You know, and like you said, people counted us out early in the season, but we just came to work, put our heads down and worked, and understood what we had to do, understand that we needed to execute. And just stuck together as a team, as a unit, and that's what we've been doing.
Jordan Poyer back on the program. You know, I'm curious, you and Micah Hyde typically speak to the media after games, but after yesterday's game, you brought the rest of the DBs in with you, including the jersey of Tre'Davious White. Why was that something that you wanted to make sure you did yesterday?
Yeah, because he's just as much a part of this as anything. You know, I say it all the time in the media, you can't replace a guy like Tre'Davious White. You know, just a great player for us, great teammate. And he's a great friend. He's in the locker room still, getting treatment and stuff, but obviously wasn't there to celebrate with us yesterday after the game. You know, we just wanted to bring out all the guys and show, you know, that our group is a really really close group of guys. You know, a lot of us have been together for 3, 4, 5 years now, and that's, you know, not many guys in college are even together that long. So it's a pretty special group that we've built, and, you know, we just wanted to show that coming out there yesterday after the game.
See, the thing is, too, Jordan, the defense finished the season as the number one scoring defense in the league for the first time in team history. You're also the number one defense in yards allowed. Does it feel like this group is peaking at just the right time?
Yeah, you know, I think our team is peaking at the right time. Obviously, we got to continue to put the work in, but, you know, just continue to stay confident in what we do, trusting our skills, trusting our instincts, trusting our coaching, and trusting our training and just going out there and play. And you know, I think that's what we've been able to do these past 4 weeks, is just being able to go out there and just play free, not worry about the result. And, you know, we just want to continue to do that.
Jordan, I understand that you're team first, but as you point out, you feel like you've been overlooked your entire life. I mean, I can't believe we're still having this conversation, but you were a Pro Bowl snub yet again this year. How much does this bother you?
You know, I wouldn't say it bothers me. I think that people who know football know, and, you know, yeah, It's a hard question, Jim. You know, because I don't want to say it bothers me, but it does. It does. You know, it pisses me off a little bit. I guess, yeah. You know, you work hard at your craft. You work hard at what you do. You know, and you know, you obviously want to be recognized. But at the end of the day, you know, things will play out the way they play out. And you know, I'm not crazy worried about it. But you know, it does piss me off, and it fuels me a little bit, and wants me to, you know, continue to prove people wrong like I always have.
Yeah, I got no problem with that, Jordan. It pisses me off. It bothers me, and I'm me. It should bother you. It bothers me. It should bother you. I get that. I understand that. Listen, Nat, you've been through this a few times now, but for everybody listening, and it seems like it's so self-evident and so cliche, but just how different is the intensity of a playoff game versus a regular season game? What's that feel like? How different is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to explain. You know, it's just a whole different atmosphere, a whole different sense of urgency. A whole different mindset, you know. It's hard to explain, Jim, unless you're really in it, you know. You know, regular season games are one thing. You know, you used to talk about preseason games. Even preseason games going into regular season games is on a different level. But then, you know, regular season games going into the playoffs is a whole different level. You know, everybody's game is notched up a little bit. You know, game plans are really tight, and so. You know, you just want to be able to come out and execute the game plan to your best ability. And when the opportunities are there, you got to make the plays. And especially this time of year, it's going to come down to tackling, being able to tackle out in open space, especially in the cold weather. So it's going to be a fun atmosphere. You know, it's Buffalo at home at night. You know, you really can't beat it. These people are going to be out here crazy. They're going to be tailgating. They're probably already out there tailgating right now. I'm leaving the facility right now, so I can see some RVs probably still staying out there. So it's going to be fun. You know, we're excited about it.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, you did answer the question, but I was going to say, I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. A Saturday night home playoff game against the Patriots. You talked about the atmosphere, but if I were just to kind of follow up on that, what are you expecting from the Bills Mafia on Saturday night? How intense is that atmosphere going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be just absolutely electric. Like I said, I'm sure these fans are already out here tailgating and are parking their RVs already. You know, I got family. You know, everybody's coming out from, you know, everybody's family's coming out. So it's going to be a pretty electric atmosphere. It's going to be one of them cold, you know, wet nights. So, you know, Bills Mafia's going to be out there. We need you. If you're listening, we need you to be loud, man, because it's going to, you know, we know you are, but we need you.
Well, you know they're showing up for it. You know they'll be ready. One last thought. Like, you're going to face the Patriots on Saturday. They got you in your place. You got them in their place. Like, Jordan, how much do those two games mean as you get ready for this one?
To be honest, I mean, I don't think they mean absolutely anything.
Right.
You know, it's a whole different ballgame. You know what I mean? This is I don't think those two games mean anything. We're going to see a different Patriots team, but we're going to see a different mindset from them. They're going to see a different mindset from us. And so it's going to be one of them classic, you know, legendary, you know, football games that are just going to go down in the book. So, you know, we're excited about it, man. It's what a great opportunity for this community, for our team. You know, like you said, Bills versus Patriots, Saturday night, 8:15 in Buffalo, New York. It's going to be snowy. It's going to be cold. It's going to be wet. Okay, what else do you want to ask for? You know, that's all you want in a football game.
I'll say it again. Nothing better than that. New England at Buffalo, Saturday, 8:15 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Jordan, I appreciate you so much. I understand that was a huge game right there. You allowed yourself maybe 12 hours to enjoy it, and now you're already back at it, and you still found time to come on this show. So for that, as always, I appreciate you very much. Thanks very much for doing that. Have a great week, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you for having me on. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Jordan. Thank you very much. Appreciate you doing it. I mean that sincerely. I really appreciate that. He's starting off an enormous week and made it a point to come on the program. Bills at home against New England. Bills Mafia, have any of you started the tailgate yet? He just said, I'm leaving the facility. I see some RVs out there. That's an incredible thing. I mean, it's one thing to start that tailgate for a Saturday night game. It's one thing to start that tailgate first thing Saturday morning. Maybe Friday night, right? Friday night for sure. It's Friday night. Or maybe you're really hardcore and you get that thing going and it's popping on Thursday. But would you really start a tailgate on Monday? Maybe. It is the Patriots. It is at home. It's going to be under the lights. The mafia will be fueled. Can't wait for that one. Hey, mafia, what are you waiting on? Get up in here. 1-800-636-8686. Also remember, Monday is an ATP day. Ask the pros. You clones get to ask me a question, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question and listen later on. I might answer yours. Probably not. I'll probably answer Bella's. I'll probably answer Edward Marino's. I'll probably answer Brenton PC. But maybe I'll answer yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, so looking ahead, top of hour number two. Actually, a couple of things I want to get to. Adam Schefter tweets, Dave Gettleman officially announced his retirement as senior VP and GM of the New York Giants. Man, is there anybody skating like Joe Judge this morning? Like, all these things adding up and conspiring and showing up like in a perfect storm to get us to look away from Joe Judge.
This ain't some clown show organization.
It is, though, Joe. It is. If you're still employed, it is. Jeff Chidiha joins me when we come back.